while this is doing its thing. This is a family, and I don't know, sometimes in a family this big, in a family as big as ours, we got six kids, there are times where you can feel alone. And I just want you to know that if you feel alone, this isn't just a try to be inclusive and try to make you feel good statement, but this is a family, and we want you to be a part of it. And so sometimes it takes some work, some effort to get in there, and we need to get to know you, and we want you to get to know us. Tim has, he's got gifts. If you're brand new this morning, Tim, would you just raise your hand? Come talk to Tim and let that be the beginning. We want to just welcome you with that. But then we also have small groups that meet, and we call it our house-to-house ministry. And they meet in different homes all over the area. You can get to know who those leaders are, and maybe I can do that this morning. If you are a host or a leader in the house-to-house ministry, can I get you to just stand so we can see who you are? All right. Yeah. I think all of them are represented this morning. So take a look around, and the goofy ones, avoid them. Find the ones that look really nice, and not you specifically, Pastor Cameron. All right, you guys can be seated. Leaders and hosts of House to House, we're not going to do our lunch this month. We're just going to go on with getting close to Christmas, and I'm going to leave it to you if your groups want to get together over that time, the month of December. You guys decide that, and then we'll be back to our lunch in January, and I'm very excited to share with you some things that God's put on my heart for that. So, all right. Honor is a big deal, and sometimes the church doesn't do it really well. With that idea of us being a family, I kind of joke around with the staff that, you know, it's just a few more days, and then Dad will be home. And that's Dad. And so Dad's home. Yay! All right, we can't get away with anything anymore. With that, too, I want to honor Pastor Jake. I have never been in a service that has been so honoring and powerful towards veterans. As well, just the call to all believers to drive through the hard stuff and rely on Jesus. So thank you for that. Yeah, go ahead, please. I also want to just highlight some things that Pastor Cameron said last week. I've been working on what I'm going to share with you for over a fortnight. And what he said last week, if you were making notes and maybe you didn't get them all like I didn't because he was like a shot out of a cannon, let me give you a couple of those passages and things. So if you're taking notes, here we go. Three things that the Holy Spirit has. He has a mind, Romans 8:27. He has a will, Acts 16:7. He has emotions, Ephesians 4:30. That is powerful, to know that this person of the Holy Spirit lives in us and wants to live through us. That's awesome. These are the weapons of our warfare. Thanksgiving, Psalms 100, verse 4, and Psalms 95, verse 2. Praise, Psalms 30, 11 through 12, Psalm 16:9, and Acts 2:26. Worship, Psalms 95, 6, Psalms 48:1, John 4:22 through 24, the Word, Hebrews 4:12, and then prayer and fasting, those are the ones I missed. So I need to talk to you. All right. After a service, a man approached his pastor. He says, "I really need prayer for my hearing." "All right," the pastor said, and he took out his fingers, put them in the man's ears, and he commanded the spirit of deafness to come out. He prayed in tongues for a little while, and he says, "Ears be opened in Jesus' name." He pulled his fingers out of the man's ears and asked him, "How's your hearing?" The man said, as he looked at him, "I don't know, it's on Thursday." Oops. Sometimes we get a little zealous. All right, would you do me a favor and take out your phones really quick? Go ahead, turn them on and face them towards you so the light of the screen is pointed at you. And I want you to repeat this after me. Let me see them. Where are you at? Pretend we're at a concert. You got them? All right. Say this with me. The more the light shines at me, the more accepting I become. The more accepting I become, the more I'm willing to receive. The more I receive, the more like Jesus I become. Amen. Now, before you turn them off, turn your volume down and take off any alarms that you might have. Because I would sure hate for you to be the one that interrupts what the Holy Spirit is doing. But we want the light. All right. We've got some slides. And last week, Pastor Cameron had some music playing. This is all part of a worship service. And we continue to worship as the word is being spoken. And so we're going to do that. And so I'm going to ask my crew up there to work with me. You can put up that first slide. My first question this morning is, what are we doing here? That's not a sermon title. It's just where we need to begin when we come into the Lord's house. Not just when we come into the Lord's house, but when we wake up every morning. But specifically, we're here now, and that's what I want us to consider for a moment. What are we doing here? We're looking for God. We're hanging out with good people. We're ministering to people. Those are all good things, but it shouldn't be the main thing. For those who believe, we are here to minister to Him. That is a big change for some people, because they came looking for Jesus to do something. Maybe in the beginning, I need something from you, Lord. And He's so amazing. And He does. And He meets you where you're at. But as a believer and as you're walking in relationship with Him, come first and foremost to minister to Him. Okay? How do we do that? We do it in a lot of different ways, but if we do those things and forget why we do those things and for who, then we miss the point. I want to share a picture that I got, and I've shared this with Irene and our house-to-house group and with the staff the other day. If I was going to make a sandwich, and I don't know if you know, but if you work at Subway, you're considered a sandwich artist, okay? So I'm going to make a sandwich, and I bring the sandwich artist alongside of me, and I build a sandwich, and I pull out my paper towel, and I throw my lettuce on it, and my tomatoes, and my cheese, and my mayonnaise and mustard, and whatever I would want on my sandwich. And then the sandwich artist pulls his sandwich up next to mine, and there's a huge difference, because his has bread. I'm making a sandwich. This is my sandwich. No, that's not a sandwich. The sandwich artist knows. And you made something, but I just want you to know it's not a sandwich. If we build on anything other than Jesus, it's not Christianity. There's a lot of ministry stuff that we can get caught up in. Even if you're not like a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or a worship leader or something like that, we're called to disciple and we're called to evangelize. We can get caught up in that I need to do those things and miss that it's about Jesus. And there isn't a person in this room who would say, I'm going to minister, but it has nothing to do with Jesus. However, we get into the stuff of ministry or the stuff of a Christian life. We do our devotions. We read the Bible. We pray. We worship. We do these things. But the focus gets skewed because we're just going through the motions. And that's none of our intent. We don't want to do that. But we have to keep pushing everything else aside and make it all about Him. That is so important. So I'm going to ask you to help me this morning. If you came this morning looking for God, good news, He's here. I have some questions I'm going to ask you. First, I want a teenager to answer this. We're doing some interacting this morning. I know that's not the norm. Who is God? A teenager? He is. Yes, go ahead. Okay. All right? He said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What else? Got to give these teenagers a chance. I'll give you a chance. Who is God? In the book of Genesis, who is God? Okay. He is the creator. Right? That's awesome. When the Hebrews begin a prayer, they begin it with God, creator of the universe. It's recognizing who He is before anything else. Why did He create man? Charlie, why did He create man? Okay, to show His love. Lewis.
Relationship.
Christina. To glorify Him. We are not here for us. As hard as that is to believe some days, He created us for His glory, to share that love. What tried to mess that up? Yes. Sin. Sin. Hate sin. So who was God's answer for bringing us back into relationship with Him? What was that? Let's have everybody, since y'all know it. There we go. Very good. So who is Jesus? What was that? All right. That's why in the paintings, baby Jesus has a halo, right? So what did Jesus do? Betty, what did Jesus do? His life, what did he come to do? To save us from sin. What else did he do? To die on the cross? What else did he do? Heal people? Amen. He did the impossible and yet made it possible. Amen. And he rose 3 days later as well. What did he tell his disciples to do? Spread the word. What else? Make disciples. And what did he tell those disciples to do? Make disciples. And what did he tell those disciples to do? Okay, I think you got it. Jesus accepted his call of duty, and so must we. How could they possibly do what Jesus did? The Holy Spirit. Okay? Is Corey helping you? Is she beating me to it? So guess what? You guys all just shared the gospel this morning. Amen. That is the gospel. There is nothing beyond Jesus and what he did. And when you feel like you don't have the words, that's a lie. The gospel, the good news, lives inside of you. So don't hesitate to share what he's put inside of you. I don't know exactly what I'm going to say. That's okay. That gospel that saved you, that is inside of you, will come out if you will just surrender and obey. Well, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that someone will find out who you love? Well, no. Then why won't you tell anybody about him? I'm afraid of what they'll say. I'm afraid of what they'll think of me. Not if you're in love. Unapologetically, I will tell you this morning, I love my wife, Irene. There she is. She's amazing. She's incredible. I can tell you more about her. But I want to tell you about Jesus this morning because I love Jesus. And I will keep you here all morning telling you about Jesus. Does anybody have any questions about the gospel, about what you just heard this morning? Genuine questions that you have had about Jesus, the story of his life, and how it interacts with you. Don't be afraid. This is a big deal this morning. Everybody's good. Yeah? You know the gospel. You've heard it, and it's clear. No questions in your mind. Now's your chance. Okay? Will you ask me later? Okay. So why did Jesus' followers, his disciples, follow him? When Jesus came up and said to the guys in the boat, hey, follow me, why did they follow him? Ah, okay. They followed him because they believed that he was the Messiah. That's a big deal. The Messiah just wandered up to my boat. I'm in the middle of work, and this guy comes up to me, and I hear him speak, and he's unlike any other person I've ever seen. I don't know what it is about this guy, but I think he's the Messiah. And I will walk off the job site and follow this man. I will walk away from my family and follow this man. Were they saved at this point? No. So recognition, awareness, and even following of Jesus did not save them. They were not yet willing to die for him. They gave up things like jobs, family, comforts, and that would seem huge to us, but Jesus doesn't want just our big stuff. He wants everything. Our whole life. There is no incorporating Jesus into what you've already got going on. That's really messed up. To bring the creator of the universe that we just talked about, that did all the things that we just talked about, and say, I've got a lot of stuff going on here, and I'm willing to set some things aside and bring you on as a part of everything else I got going. He wants everything. And he's unapologetic for it. I created you, I love you, I want all of you. When someone is given a driver's license, it's because they are believed to be good drivers. However, just performing well for a moment or during that driver's test does not mean that someone is a good driver. After saying a prayer, people might call you a Christian, but it does not mean you have a relationship with him. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you say no to yourself, no to sin, no to the ways of the world, and no to Satan. To say yes to Jesus is to say yes to a whole new way of life. Joy unspeakable, peace. It cannot be taken away. He is the only thing that truly fulfills. So now, is there anyone who wants to give up their life and surrender it to Jesus? I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning, but I do want you to stand up, because it's silly to not and say, I love you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now, some of you, I know you know who he is. But what you're saying in standing is that you give him everything. That there's no more of you. You're cutting everything else off. If you are sitting down, what I'd like you to do, believers, is take a look around the room, and I want you to go to someone who the Holy Spirit puts on your heart that might need somebody to come alongside of them. Because we don't do this alone. Praise you, Lord. My greatest desire for this morning is that he would be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We are called to go and make disciples. So if you have somebody standing with you, I want you to interact with this person, not right now, but as the days go on. After this service, exchange phone numbers or something like that. We're going to do what Jesus said. Make disciples. Who will make disciples? Who will make disciples? And it is all about Jesus. If you're standing with somebody, you're not having to make something happen. That would be a really lousy sandwich. Instead, we're going to take the bread of life and offer that to these people that you're with. You can go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Lord. God, I give you all praise and glory for the hearts of those in this room who desire you. You are worthy, Lord. So now, is it safe to assume that everyone in the room is now a follower of Jesus? Maybe. But maybe there's those that are simply hiding in silence. What do you mean? Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Amen. So he just said it's hard. It's hard to give everything. He is more amazing than your everything. The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, what you're going to find is you taste and see that he is way better than anything that you've ever experienced. That is not just words of hype. Scripture speaks of more than you and I have ever experienced. And I'm telling you from my own experience that he is absolutely incredible. There are not enough words to explain to you how amazing he is. That's why I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. So within the room, we may have those that are hiding and those who are seeking. However, we are not playing hide and seek. This is more like a treasure hunt. And Jesus is that treasure. Scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that someone found in a field and sold everything they had to buy the field. It's in Matthew 13, 44 through 46. There's a pastor by the name of Michael Koulianos. He said, your eternal experience will depend on how well you die to self and say yes to God. I'm going to read that again. Your eternal experience will depend on how well you die to self and say yes to God. Now, dying now, because for all of eternity, you're going to be with him. What's that going to be like? Well, that depends. How well did you die here? I was sharing with a little girl one time. We were getting ready to baptize her up here, and we were meeting in pastor's office, and We were talking about baptism being an expression of death to yourself and coming up alive in Christ. And she looked really concerned and she said, "Do you really die?" "Well, no, but yes." That's what we've all done, unless you're hiding. Pastor Bill Johnson says, God is never hiding things from you, but for you. It is a Minecraft. There are things that you need to seek out and search in order to find. Isaiah 45, 15, 18 through 19 says, "Truly you are God who hide yourself." Say that with me, who hide yourself. Well, I thought he wasn't hiding from us. Let's go on. "O God of Israel, the Savior, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited." This is that God we were talking about, the creator of the universe. "I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret." Say that again. "I have not spoken in secret. In a dark place of the earth, I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain." We don't seek him in vain. "I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." There are a handful of things that I have had believers tell me, this is what we're shooting for. This is the direction we're going, but we're not going to do it. We're not going to make it. We can't. Well, if the creator of the universe, who put himself in human form and lived out a perfect life, living out all of those laws that we couldn't possibly live, and making that possible for us through the Holy Spirit, that God has never, ever, ever told us to do something and not given us the means to do it. Ever. He'll go to somebody and say, "I need you to do this." "Well, I don't have the gifts. I don't have the ability." Let's just take the paralytic guy that he told to walk. He could have said, "I can't." Or he could surrender to the God of the universe and pick up his mat and walk. You may not feel like you have what you need. Just surrender and be obedient and see what happens. Talk about a wild ride. Jeremiah 29:13, you're all familiar with, says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." It's like playing Among Us. So it begins with wholeheartedness. What does that mean? Completely and sincerely devoted, determined or enthusiastic, marked by complete earnest commitment, free from all reserve or hesitation. Did you catch all of that? This is wholeheartedness, complete and sincerely devoted, determined or enthusiastic, marked by complete earnest commitment, free from all reserve or hesitation. So what do we do to seek this treasure? Who is the treasure again? Jesus. I was going to write some things on the whiteboard, but I think I'm going to skip that just because I won't do it very fast and I need to plow forward. So if you're taking notes, I'll have some passages for you. but we are after this treasure. If you seek him, you'll find him if you search with all of your heart. The treasure is Jesus. So how do we find this treasure? We read the Bible. How do we read the Bible? I went to 3 years of Bible college. I have friends that have gone to Bible college. When I went to Bible college, I had never heard of any school that would teach you what I'm about to tell you. They didn't tell you how to engage God in your devotions. They didn't teach you how to listen to the voice of God. It was purely academic, and anything else outside of that was interaction with students. And sometimes you had a great professor that you could go to and talk outside of class, but when it came to class, I never had anybody that was making it about relationship with him. I want you to know what's in the Bible, but the relationship part of it, you'll figure it out. That's like telling a young couple, it'll be okay, just get married, you'll figure out the relationship part. We do that though. They're drawn to each other for different things, and we let that just play out. And then they're trying to figure out why they're miserable, because they were in love. They had all of these amazing experiences with each other, and now they've fallen out of love with each other. They make choices like, I'm gonna get married because that's the right thing to do, and that'll fix it. It's the right thing to do. Well, we feel kind of apart, separate, so let's have a kid. That'll bring us together. This, if this is God's very word, spoken to us with no flaws and it's alive, then it means that we will miss much if we simply take an academic approach to reading it. All right, Corey, go ahead, go to that one. The weird one that you had, that's the one. That's the weird one. Do you guys remember when these posters came out, these books, and you're trying to see the thing in the thing? I could never do it. I've crossed my eyes, I've gone forward, I've gone back, and I don't see it. I don't get it. And that's what it's like reading scripture. I can see at face value what's right there. And somebody can tell you the colors you're seeing, the lines, designs that you can kind of see in there, and still miss what is actually in it. Okay? So can any of you, before we go to the next one, can any of you see the picture in there? What it is that is hiding? If you can, raise your hand. Oh, good, I'm not the only one. So this is what's there. Go ahead, go to the next one. That's in there somewhere. And so what I do with those pictures, with those posters, is I wad them up and throw them away. It means nothing to me. And we do that with scripture as well. We look at it and we're trying. We want to know. There isn't a person in this room that just goes, I really don't care. Even if you're in here and you're still hiding, you're in here for a reason. I believe that you want Jesus. But where is he? How do I find him? I'm telling you, he's in here. And he's not just in here. He is in here. And in every believer. And he is not hiding things from you. He is hiding things for you. There is something so precious about his presence and his relationship with us that he wants to be sought. And if you seek me, you will find me if you search with your whole heart. So what else do we do to find this treasure? Who is the treasure? We pray. Pray is not speaking our laundry list of complaints or our wish list to the wish list of the hoops we want God to jump through. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything." With turkey and stuffing. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, not with turkey and stuffing, but with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You want me to explain it to you? I'm trying, but I can't. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If you translate this in Hebrew, you can say, ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Keep going. Don't stop. How else do we seek this treasure? We worship. Why do we worship? Well, to feel good, to listen to the music, to sing these words that we've literally sung hundreds of times. No. There is so much to worship. To worship that way would be like a husband that has a reminder on his phone that tells him when his anniversary is, and an automatic purchase, which will go to the local florist to send his wife a bouquet of flowers. That would create Mortal Kombat. Psalms 47, 2 through 3 says, "For the Lord Most High is awesome." Say awesome. That word awesome means unlike anything else. So when you had that pizza and you said, "This is awesome," it wasn't awesome. He is the only thing that is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. What else do we do to seek this treasure? We go to church. Why do we go to church? What did we say in the beginning? Do you remember? Minister to him. Another quote from Pastor Bill Johnson: "If my mind is not filled with the memory of the activities of God, it will be filled with other things that distract and dilute my affection for him. I'll read that again. If my mind is not filled with the memory of the activities of God, it will be filled with other things that distract and dilute my affection for him. So it's totally possible that nothing I've said this morning is new to you. But if we're seeking and we keep seeking and we're asking and knocking and keep knocking, there's got to be more. If we're going to spend all of eternity watching, worshiping this God, there has to be more. And so don't stop. So what is the evidence that God, what is the evidence in Scripture of an amazing time with God? We want more. So what do we see in Scripture that brought the more in the situations in Scripture? This is not on the slides because it's a long passage. I want you to just write down 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 19 through 39. It's a pretty familiar passage, but this is a big deal. These are the kinds of things we need to look at if we're going, what is it that brings the more of God into a life, into a situation? 1 Kings 18, verse 19 through 39. So Elijah is calling all of Israel to Mount Carmel. The 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Verse 20, Elijah says, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" I've shared this passage before. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Part of the reason I like getting you vocally involved on a Sunday morning is to just get you to vocalize what you believe. If we don't do that in here, we're probably not going to do it out there. So Elijah says, come on. Come on up here to Mount Carmel. How long are you going to feel the tension of being pulled in these different directions? It's hard to get rid of everything. How long are you going to live in that tension? And nobody says a word. Then Elijah said, verse 22, to the people, "I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men." He's given the odds here. The odds are not in his favor. "Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. Then you call in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord, and the God who answers with fire, he is God." Okay? So now in the midst of this group, the people that are hiding said nothing. And then when he presents the scenario, you give this a shot, you do your thing, and the God who comes in fire, he's God. I'm going to do the same thing. And if my God is God, he'll show up in fire. Well, that's a blanket statement, and we can all cheer for that. Yeah. So they all say, yeah, that's a really good idea. Now they're talking up because they don't have to commit to anything. We jump down to verse 33. They've done their thing. The prophets of Baal have done their thing, jumped around, cut and hollered and done all their goofiness, and Elijah mocks them. By the way, it's okay to mock the enemy. So he says, okay, it's my turn. Verse 33 says, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and the wood. Well, wait a minute. We need the playing field fair. Everything's got to be the same. No, I really want you to know that God is God. And so I'm making it so there's nothing I can do, and there's no other way unless God shows up and does this for it to happen. This is so sweet. Church, get rid of plan B and make plan A even more difficult than you can fulfill. That's easy when you're praying for the sick. But what about just life in general? I have a decision to make. God, I don't know what you want me to do. Well, make it so that God has to come through. Well, you're not supposed to test the Lord your God. I'm not asking you to test him. I'm asking you to believe that he is who he says he is and give him the opportunity to reveal himself, not just to you, but everybody in your life. I'm not asking you to test him. I have been told by somebody close to me in praying for the sick, in essence, who do you think you are to demand that of God? I'm not demanding that of God. He said, this is who I am. Now go and heal the sick. The results and everything are up to him. I just have to, again, be surrendered and obedient. Fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. Verse 34, do it a second time. Do it a third time. And then verse 36, the prophet came near and said, listen to the heart of Elijah. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He messed up. Isn't it the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Isn't that normally what we hear? It's interesting that he would change that unless you know the story. Jacob, his name means trickster, right? And when they reference the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're just recognizing that ancestor, that man. We know who you're talking about. But God changed the name of the trickster to the Prince of God, Israel. I am specifically, intentionally coming to the God of Abraham, and everybody knows who that God is. I am specifically, intentionally coming to the God of Isaac, and everybody knows who he is and what God did there. And I am coming to the God of Israel, the God that took a man and changed everything about him. Now, God, I've got a situation and I really need you to change things. I've made it so there's no way that anybody could give me glory. Let it be known this day, and this is my prayer this morning, that you are God in Israel. That you are God in St. Mary's. The God of St. Mary's Assembly of God. And I am your servant, and that I have done all of these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And then this happened. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up every drop of water that was in the trench. When God shows up, nothing else is left. Is that what you want? Would you seek him with your whole heart? This isn't a trial run. You don't walk with him for 60 or 90 days and see how it works out. A dead man doesn't say, well, I'm going to try this out, see how it works. You give your everything to him. Exodus 3, 4 through 5. So when the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. What brought about the change? Moses turned and gave recognition to what God was doing. He's a shepherd. He's got a lot of stuff going on. But God's doing something here, and I don't understand it. And when God saw that he put everything else aside and turned to that thing that he was doing, God spoke, called his name, and then he changed the atmosphere. The ground that you're standing on is holy ground. 1 Kings 8, 5 through 6, and 10 and 11. I don't think that one's on here. Oh, it is. I am not going to read all of it. But this is King Solomon and the building of the temple. All the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Whoa! I've never seen that many animals before. That's a lot of blood. That is an ultimate sacrifice. Nobody's counting these things because they're too much, but we're going to give and give and give and give and give and give and give. That whole process of sacrifice wasn't a quick deal. It took a long time. So how long were they at this? It doesn't matter. When you worship him, when you give him everything, it's not a matter of time. Now, how many of you are concerned that I'm not going to get us out on time? I would be if I were you. Verse 10, when the priest came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. God, we're in the middle of a service right now. Can you just kind of bring the cloud up a little bit? We've got things we need to get done. No way. This is what we're after. This is what we want. We want his presence among us. And that's what it's about, because we came to minister to him. When we come to minister to him, there are things that we do in the service. There's a schedule and things like that. And we do these things to minister to him. But when he says, I love the heart of my bride, and he shows up, all bets are off. Amen. He gets to take over and do whatever he wants to do. verse 23, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you. So how do you know if it's been a good church service? Or your devotions have been good? Your time of prayer and worship? It's when God shows up. Well, what does that mean? Sometimes it's in a revelation of who he is or who he created you to be. Sometimes it's a feeling, tears, laughter, peace. Sometimes it's a healing or a deliverance, but maybe not even your own. However he chooses to reveal himself is up to him, but we have to come in obedience and humility on his terms, making it about him, not us, but about him. I'm not going to tell you about the movie, but just in relation to what I'm talking about, I like movies. If you get a chance to watch this movie, it's called The One Who Hears, A Call to Obedience. Just check it out. About 3 weeks ago, I ended my time working at North 40. And I went back yesterday morning just to, and I mean just to, say hi to my crew, the people that I worked with. They're good people, not all believers. Pastor used to give me a hard time about the mega church that I pastored in Coeur d'Alene. They're just amazing. And God will give you a love for the people that he wants you to minister to. But I walked away from 2 years of working with them, not a long time. I knew 6 months into being there that it was going to be a hard place to leave. And I don't have time to tell you all the things that God did, but he did more than I can do. And you know that, right? God does stuff and you don't always know the results of the impact that you're making. But when I left, the amount of cards and food and hugs and tears was the evidence that this was far beyond what I could do. I didn't go to that job for a paycheck. I didn't go to see how many people I could get saved. I didn't go because I love throwing thousands of pounds of feed every day. I went because I knew he wanted me there. The things that took place that brought me there were totally his moving. And then what he did, because I said yes, was far beyond me. I want to tell you, please keep seeking him. Please keep knocking. The things that you are searching out, searching for, that you need God to come through in, keep doing it. He loves you. He's not listening. But he wants you to pursue him. He's not going to hide things from you. He's hiding it for you. So will you pursue me? Will you come after me? I've got way more, way greater things than what you're even asking me for. but we've got to get to this place where you shed everything else behind and go after me with everything. It is amazing. And I long for the day when we can't get through a service because God is doing too much. Too much. And you can't help but testify and say what God is doing, how good He's been to you, the things that He has spoken to you throughout the week. That'd be having church. Father, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for your presence, for your love. I thank you for what you're in the midst of doing, for what you've already done, and the incredible future that we can't even comprehend. Holy Spirit, you know what's going on in the lives of every single person in this room. Would you, in your grace and your mercy, interrupt? Just like you did in so many people's lives in Scripture. Just like you did when you came as a baby, you changed everything. Lord God, creator of the universe, we submit to your leading. Holy Spirit, move and breathe in these that stood earlier. Show them what it is not to just walk religiously as a Christian, but what it is to walk in life, to have the breath of God constantly breathing into you, speaking. Father, be glorified in and through your church. In Jesus' name, amen.